Hi, this is Mike Dettillier, and you are listening to Flourish Truly with Tina and Georgette.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Georgette with Flourish Truly. Hey, my friend, happy Tuesday. How are you doing this week?
Hey, you know, not bad, all things considered.
Before we even start the show, I would like to give a quick thoughts and prayers to Florida and everybody that's in Ian's path. This storm is just going to be devastating. And being here in Louisiana, we just went through this last year with Ida. Mm-hmm. It's eerily familiar. So my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in Florida. Really heartbreaking because we literally just went through this. So I mm-hmm. hope everybody stays very safe. We're thinking of y'all. Moving on to sad news, unfortunately, the New Orleans Saints, our Saints, boy, oh boy, oh boy, where do I even start, Georgette? Where can I start?
They are definitely something.
I am a woman of many words. I don't get tongue-tied or speechless very often. I mean, I'm from New Orleans, I'm Italian, what can I say? But this team has just got me for a loss. Mm. I've had so many people ask me over the last couple of days, what is going on with them? And I just don't know. I have so many different scenarios, and some of them are just so way out there. But I mean, at this point, when your team is playing that crazy, it's hard not to kind of go with the crazy scenarios, because on paper, we're an extremely talented team. We are a playoff team.
100%.
On paper, but it's just not projecting on the field, and it's scary and it's sad, because it starts, number one, with our leader, Jameis Winston, who is seriously injured. People want to throw blame at him, which is driving me insane, because the man can only do what he physically can do. And yes, he's very limited. And people say, oh, well, you know, he don't need to be playing. That is not his decision, y'all. If the coaches feel like he can play, they're letting him play. They feel like, you know, this is something he can work through. Or they feel like they're more confident with him as starting than Andy Dalton, which I don't really understand that one. But like I said, again, all the scenarios are just insane. We don't know what's going on. But I will say this. Do not lay blame on Jameis. He's playing with four fractures in his back. And he said this the other day, every time he steps, every time he puts pressure on that back foot, it hurts. So every time he steps into a throw, he's in pain. Now he has an ankle injury on top of it. I'm leaning to believe that it's probably a lot worse than what it's being reported, because none of the things that are going on makes any sense. We have injuries at other positions on the O-line. We know about that. O-line's not blocking. We had another fumble uncharacteristically this week with AK, who was battling rib injuries himself, and he came back this week. Mark's still hurt. Now we've got Jarvis Landry, as well as Mike Thomas, dealing with a toe injury. We're just beat up. We're so beat up, and it's week four. So we got the injuries. Then we've got the coaching. I don't even know where to start with that. I'm so, number one, why are you playing Jameis Winston?
So, you know, I have thoughts on the game itself. I have my little notes, and there's a lot here. Listen, I'm just going to say my things, and then I'm sure people will have thoughts and feelings, and that's cool. Bueno. So I'm going to say, and we talked about this earlier today, I'm going to start with the vanilla play calling. I feel like, and your description earlier was the best, the Waffle House play card. With the Waffle House menu-sized play card that Sean used to have versus what appears to be like a post-it note that Pete is using. So I'm a call that out of the gate. Here's the observations that I had from the game. We had poor clock management, particularly with the timeouts. We're left with zero timeouts and 2 minutes left in the game, and we got the ball back. But we can't do anything substantive, because we're managing the clock almost as badly as Buffalo did. The onside kick was anticipated. Everyone knew it was coming. We clearly don't know how to successfully onside kick and recover the ball. So I wish we would stop. Like, it's enough with the tomfoolery. We've tried onside kicks now three times and all three failed. We did it last season. We didn't master it then. We're not mastering it now. Let's let it go. This is not the Super Bowl and ambush. Like, it's just not. So it's enough. Their final punt, that just undid any chance we had of a comeback. We had missed field goals. We actually probably would have won if those field goals had worked. We rely on a Hail Mary at the end. Yes, Jameis can air it out. Bro, you got to send it to someone that's down there. And then the someone that's supposed to be down there can't be slipping on turf. Like, check your cleats. So at the end of the day, the Panthers lost 9 games in a row. And knowing that, I would have wanted to see DA and Pete come into this game, all cylinders firing, for a team that is desperate for a win, and particularly desperate for a win at home in front of their home crowds. 9 games in a row this team has lost. And they just lost last before they played us. They just lost. It wasn't like a blowout. They could have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, their quarterback's a tool and not a good, useful tool. So we had opportunities abound. What I will say was awesome to see was Olave finally connecting with Jameis, right? There's a lot. And then Marquez Callaway catching that ball with a single hand out of the defense's hands in the end zone, right?
Heaven knows Pete forced him that ball enough.
Right.
Jameis, you know, they called that play enough times that eventually it was going to work.
Right. Right. So, you know, I know Deuce McAllister, whom I love, on there running his mouth today on the Twitter. And all I'll say is, you're wrong, Deuce. I don't care if people have something to say about that. He's wrong. This is not a Jameis problem. This is a Pete and Dennis. But mostly from my vantage point, Dennis. Because I will tell you that I know for a fact Sean Payton would not let dudes out there on the field fumbling balls, missing tackles, and otherwise not completing their route continue to play on the field. He would bench them. And what I want to see Dennis do is get that fire in his belly and not worry about these guys loving him, but more worried about them respecting him. And I think that is the gap right now.
Mm-hmm. And I said this earlier, we were chatting about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Sean was not their friend.
No.
Sean was their friend when they started winning, when they were winning and they did their jobs. Mm-hmm. Sean was a hard ass coach.
Yes.
He was not their friend. Dennis is trying too hard to be their friend, want to take him out to dinner, date the sister, come over for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. You have to have them fear you and respect you. Mm-hmm. And it scares me, because if you lose control of the locker room and if you lose the players, you will lose the fans. And I said it earlier, what happens? Everybody loses.
Mm-hmm.
We've already dropped 2 of our 3 games and they were divisional opponents.
Yep.
And these were games that I had us going in 3-0. And honestly, had we played to the ability that I know we could, we would have destroyed Tampa. Because everybody saw the game the other night with 100%. Brady. He is not Tom Brady of a couple of years ago. Yeah, he's still playing at a good level. But I mean, he, again, third quarter, 3 points he was being held to.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have had him and blown them out. We could have beat Carolina, but we beat ourselves. Sloppy, messy, stupid penalties. Playing a quarterback who's too injured, who I think, and I'm not saying bench him like for the year, bench him till he can get hurt. Let him sit and rest so that we have him the rest of the season. Because I'm going to tell you what, if this continues and he keeps getting sacked like he was sacked the other day, Jameis is not going to make it many more games. He's going to be done for the year. And possibly, I mean, I don't care what they say, how they say, oh, the injury can't get any worse. No, I'm sorry. It's a back injury. It can always get worse. So let him sit. Let Red Rocket, Ginger Ninja, whatever y'all want to call Andy Dalton, let him come out and start and see what he can do. And please, I know Sean, y'all, the Waffle House menu, start using it.
Mm-hmm.
Their defenses can read the plays. My 10-year-old godchild could read these plays and what y'all are doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is ridiculous. Vanilla play calling. Start mixing it up. We have too much talent on this team. And I feel like a broken record going round and round and round and round, saying the same thing over. But my God, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that's exactly what's going on. And we're saying this 3 weeks into this game. And we have to go to London. We have an 8:30 kickoff, which is super early in the morning. We got to get up instead of having cooking barbecue or, you know, whatever we cook gumbo for games. We're going to be making breakfast at 7:30, 8:30 in the morning, depending where you're at, which I hate these international games. We are the first of 5 this year, which I know the league is pushing that narrative, but I hate international games. The players don't care for it. It's just, we're not even going to get on that. That's another soapbox. But yeah, so we're playing Minnesota, who's bipolar.
I know.
You don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to show up this week. They won week 1, they lost week 2. you know, he threw a bunch of interceptions last week. They won again. And now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen this week. Then we, like I said, if we got to play Seattle, then we have Cincinnati, which, you know, they beat up and they're not looking so great either. But I mean, we're losing to teams that we shouldn't be losing to. So, I mean, it scares me that, you know, Tampa Bay was supposed to be our division rival as far as, you know, winning the South this year and how we laid an egg with them. It's like, man, if Seattle and Cincy are as bad as people are saying they're going to be, we're going to get killed, killed, embarrassed, worse than we already have. And then, you know, that then you can just say at that point, okay, well, that's, you know, the sixth game of the season. Then where are you at? Because we're a quarter of a way after Sunday. The only positives I can say is, hey, we didn't let ourselves get shut out. Chris Olave is already having a great season. The number one ranked rookie. He's in the top percentage of odds to win rookie of the year, which I don't even want to discuss any of those things. But I mean, hey, that's great. He is performing. He's the reason why we drafted him, and it's what we knew he could do. I just wish everybody would even play half of the level that he's been balling out with, because this is just frustrating, and I just don't know. And if y'all have any ideas, please hit us up online, because I – and literally, like I said, speechless. I have no clue. I just don't know anymore. I love this team. I will always love this team. I'm a hoot at for life, but it's frustrating. It was different when we didn't have the talent. You know, it was different for years when Drew, you know, was holding this team together and our defense just sucked, and we just knew it. We knew our defense sucked, and we knew Drew was going to get us out of holes, and he did most of the time. But I mean, we've got a great defense, and they're not performing. They're very lethargic. They're starting games and not getting pressure on the quarterback. No sacks last week. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what to even say. Like, is it something in the locker room? Are they, you know, are they not feeling confident in Dennis? Are they still processing Sean leaving? Is it has to do with CJ leaving? I mean, what is going on? I grasping at the straws here, trying to figure it all out. There's some kind of disconnect here that the team is not projecting their talents on the field. And it's very frustrating as a Saints fan. Very frustrating.
Agreed. So, you know, you talk about a couple of things. Here's what I'm going to say. Cousins is going to Cousins this weekend. I still stand by the Vikings. Don't scare me. I watched that game, you know, because ours was so pitiful. So I was in between watching both. It is because Detroit gave them too many seconds at the end, and blown coverage resulted in Cousins being able to just lob the ball wantonly down the field, and some guy collected it and like sauntered into the end zone. So I don't know if it was skill based or if Detroit actually just blew it right at the end. I'm not making excuses, so because I'm just not. But I still am confident that we should, with the talent we have, beat the Vikings comfortably. Not a blowout, but comfortably. That said, where are the play calls in that Tampa game we played last year? I'm going to keep going back to it. The play where they made the little V and they pushed the line and they did the things. Where's that creativity? Where's that shock and awe? Where's that surprise? So I say this all starts from the top. And I think Dennis needs to like put on his big boy panties and get out there and like take control of this team. Because I will tell you what, you know, Mrs. B is not going to lose talent off this team. She will by far part ways with her coach before she will let these stars that we are wasting. No.
And we spent too much money in his contracts and his talent. And somebody even suggested earlier today, well, you know, what's a shot of Sean coming back and taking over if things continue? I mean, I'm never going to say never, because I mean, if you throw enough money, he might. I just don't even know if his heart would even be in it, because he was so burnt out and he needs a break. And you know, he physically looks better on television. Yeah, he looks happy, and he's, you know, people don't realize you get up at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And you head to the facility. It's brutal. And you're there all day. And there was times that Sean slept there because they'd have late night meetings and sessions. Yeah,
but that was Sean. That was Sean, though.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he had snacks and food and a refrigerator, you know, in his office, because it was like he never, you know, he had eat, sleep, and breathed football. Yeah. So it's a grind. And Sean is not 30-something years old, like when he first came here. you know, and you got to think about that. I mean, like, he's been doing 16 years here as a head coach. It's a grind. It's tough. It's hard. And he deserved a break. You could tell he was mentally exhausted. I don't know if he would come back. I mean, would you want to inherit this?
I think he would take it as a challenge.
I don't know. I just don't want to throw Dennis under the bus right now. But I mean, if this continues, I have no choice but to say, hey, look, you know, we need to start looking. And it's not unheard of to have, you know, first year head coaches be let go. It's just hard because Dennis was such a presence for the defense. You know, I wanted Eric Bieniemy to be our head coach. I wanted Dennis to stay with the defense because I was afraid of the regression. And here we are, exactly what I was concerned about. You know, here we are. The defense has regressed. And I know, I think it was the first game against Atlanta, they had said that he was still, you know, managing the defense. And I'm like, okay, is it the double dipping where we're having issues? That was one of the issues with Mickey Loomis a couple of years ago when he said he was, you know, the GM of the Pelicans and GM of the Saints, and he was double dipping and is stretching his attention. I'm like, okay, so is Dennis doing that with the defense and, you know, trying to manage the offense? And yes, Pete calls the plays, but I mean, Dennis is in control. He's the head coach. I just don't know. I mean, yeah, you're right. Mrs. Benson will do whatever it takes to make this team a winner. And we have too many talented players under contract. We're paying too much money. It would be a very, very, very difficult thing, a conversation that they would have to have. I wouldn't want to, you know, being in HR, I know I've had those difficult decisions. It's hard. And then you know, you don't want to lose someone who was such a presence with the defense. And he was well-liked and respected there. I think something's lacking. They're like a set of disconnect. But I mean, we can analyze it all day long. And unfortunately, you know, we're strapped for time here on Flores Truly. So we will, of course, continue to talk about this online. And if you have any ideas, thoughts, or you want to tell us we're wrong, or you want to tell us, hey, we totally agree with you, hit us up online. We're always available. I'm Tina at The NOLA Girl on Facebook, Instagram, and of course, Twitter. And at Flores Truly Pod on Twitter, Flores Truly Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And Georgette, you can tell everybody where they can come and talk to you and tell you what's going on, because I sure don't know.
Hey, yo, Dennis, if you need a coaching pep talk, you can reach me on the Twitter at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's.
And I hope everyone has a fabulous week. We will see you 8:30 a.m. on Sunday.
9:30 Eastern.
Live from London when the Saints take on the Minnesota Vikings. Let's hope that we can get a win. And our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in Florida that are fighting. And let's all pray that it is not as bad as it's expected to be. So we will see you next Tuesday on Flores Truly. Who dat, baby?
Who dat, baby?